what he said in John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. So the place actually is the heaven, the eternal inheritance that God has prepared for us as Christians. So it's actually, it ties together resurrection, and then after that, a place is prepared for us, which is heaven. And as Christians, we're moving toward this destination. So as we look at the heaven, we just don't stay that, okay, I want to go there, right? And just leave everything behind. No, actually, when we walk this Christian walk, we actually focus on how we live our life today. If we know what heaven is like, it actually informs us how to live our Christian life on earth. So it's very important we know what heaven is about, then actually it helps us to live a life on earth that is pleasing to God. So I don't know if you really know what heaven is like. This is a picture I downloaded from the internet. Okay, the passage that we just read is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 8. It's part of a vision of the whole heaven. People would say, some commentators would say this is a summary of the whole passage. It starts from chapter 21, verse 1, and it goes all the way to chapter 22. Verse 5. So it's a long passage. So if you read this passage literally, then you will come up with this picture. Literally, okay? Just believe it's word by word, and what it says is about the heaven, the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. It's like that. Okay, it's a cube. When you look at the passage, it's like a cube. And it's golden. The city is made of gold. And also there's a city wall here, very comparative small. And there are every wall, every side, there are three gates and made of one pure. Can you imagine that? A pure that big, that become the gate of, sorry, that become the, I don't have to operate with this. Okay. So it's, okay, so literal meaning. Okay? And the new heaven and new earth. You just draw it, and I don't know how the painter could come up with this. Anyway, then we look at the inside of it. This is inside of the holy city, or the heaven, or the new Jerusalem. Okay? If you take it literally, then you see there's the streams of water of life flowing in the middle of the city. Okay? Because the city is gold, all the buildings are gold. Made of gold. And and there's on both sides of the river or the streams, there are trees of life. Okay? This is, if you take the Revelation chapter 21 and 22 literally, you will come up with this picture. It may be like this. I don't know. I have not been there. I haven't been there, right? And also, most of the commentators would say the description in Revelation 21, chapter 21 and 22 are symbolic rather than literal. But no one knows. If it's symbolic, then it may not be like this. It just wants to portray that that's the place that's perfect. That's glorious. That's otherworldly. That you cannot find any place like this on earth. With the glorious presence of God in heaven. So everything is new, unimaginable, fantastic. If you take it symbolically, then you will come with, I don't know what heaven is like, but I know that it is a perfect place with God's glorious presence in it. And everyone will be joyful in that place. Just like the description that we have read on the passage, Revelation chapter 20, 1, verses 1 to 8. Okay. When you look at this passage, the heaven, I would like to bring to you 3 points. And this point, actually, 3 points, actually is the summary of the intention of John the Apostle, who want to bring Jude, bring those believers at that time, at his time, to know what heaven is like. Because of these 3 themes, it's about suffering, it's about God's kingdom, it's about patient endurance. So we go through these 3 points and see the relationship between heaven and suffering, heaven and God's kingdom, and heaven and patient endurance. Let's talk about heaven and suffering. If you look at the passage, you know that suffering is gone, right? Suffering is gone. When you look at verse 4, I invite you to open your Bible to the passage. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And he, God, will wipe every tear from the eyes. It means suffering, right? There will be no tears because God will wipe it out. And also, when you look at verse 6, there will be someone who is thirsty. To him who is thirsty, God will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. So thirsty symbolizes suffering. So God will give water freely to those who are thirsty. So suffering will end. Why is that? Because new all those things are in place. Are in place. The adjective new is mentioned at least 4 times here. New heaven, new earth, and the declaration of God in verse 5, I am making everything new. So the new order is in place. The first heaven and the first earth was gone, was replaced. The old order of things were gone. So if you read verse 4 continually, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Completely new. It's unimaginable. How new is it? We don't know. But the old order of things, which will cause suffering, pain, groaning, death, will be gone. And there is great joy. When you look at verse 2, when the coming of the new Jerusalem, it's like a wedding banquet that will be going on. After the city comes down, then there will be a celebration, like a wedding banquet. There will be joy. There will be celebration. There will be no more suffering. And evil will be gone. Verse 1, the sea is not there anymore. What sea is about? In Revelation 13, it symbolizes something bad. Evil forces come up from the sea. So it means evil is gone too. So heaven is like that. Heaven is like that. Even though we don't know the details, we know the condition in heaven. So there's no pain, no suffering. The new order is in place. The old order is gone. And then we have great joy and no evil anymore. Because evil is the source of all suffering. So you know that, right? During John's time, Apostle John's time, a lot of persecution were there. Christians were persecuted because of their belief. They only believe in one God. They wouldn't bow down to any gods, including the Roman Emperor. They would see them as gods. So they asked all those subjects in the Roman Empire to worship all gods, including themselves. But Christians They didn't bow down to that, to those gods. The result is they were persecuted, even killed. There are two kings who persecute Christians the most. One is the king of Nero and the king of Domitian. So you see, it's during the reign of Nero, some Christians are persecuted. They were burned like torch, human torch. Wow, that cruel, right? That evil. Those Christians are willing to die for Christ because they are sincere to their faith. They hung on till the end. This is the result of it. So when they read, when those Christians who were being persecuted, when they read the book of Revelation, when they see the future of their destination, there will be the heaven, there will be no pain, no suffering, no tears, they will be comforted. A lot of comforts they will get from this passage. So you know that why John, or why God revealed this vision to John, and John wrote it down, because during that time, Christians were persecuted. So you ask, what is this for us today? Wow. Do you know there are Christians being persecuted today? Even today. This is a figure from Open Door USA. This is an organization helping those who were persecuted, who are persecuted worldwide. This is his stats. Every month, on average, 345 Christians are killed for faith-related reasons. 105 churches or Christian buildings are burned or attacked. 219 Christians are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. This is the reality. And in Canada, we don't have persecution, right? We can worship God freely. No one persecutes us because of our belief. So, no persecution. So, do we have suffering? Or do we suffer for God? Or have we suffered for God? Maybe I'll just ask Kevin. Okay, I pick on you. It's okay. Okay, today you are leading worship, right? Did you come earlier to practice? When do you wake up today, this morning? 7:20, not too bad. I woke up at 6. Preparing my sermon, obviously. Okay, not too bad. So you could sleep in a bit if you are not leading worship, right? But you give up some privileges, right? Because you have to lead worship. Okay, that's good. Do you enjoy that? That's good. How about, okay, all worship leaders are they quit. I don't want to do it anymore, Kevin. You do it all. Do you enjoy doing it every week? Yeah. Not so much, eh? Okay, if you prepare very hard for the song set and pray about it and lead with all your heart and compassion, and people just... How do you feel? It's not real, just hypothetically, okay? How do you feel? Yeah. A little bit sad, right? Maybe. If some of us here even criticize you. No, the song says too boring. Come on. Give us some old stuff. I like hymns. Okay? No, it's not contemporary enough. Give me some new stuff. Those things are outdated. And they criticize you. Say bad things behind your back. And some left totally. It becomes suffering, right? Maybe. Maybe suffering is too big a word. But it's not good. Not a good experience. Honestly, if you've been at church around church for a certain period of time, if you serve hard enough and long enough, you will experience kind of suffering. Being rejected, being misunderstood, being criticized. Right? Yeah, because we're a fallen human being. Yes, we actually live through sufferings. Yes, even in the church environment. So if you suffer because you serve God with your heart, God will comfort you. The promise of heaven, meaning that God will comfort you one day. Even you're being misunderstood or criticized, rejected, abandoned, God will take care of you. God will comfort you. God will wipe every tear of your eyes. Okay, I'm not talking only at church and the church environment, right? In our society, you know, these are the descriptions of the media, the television, the radio in Canada. They want to portray the evangelicals in Canada. Is it a good picture? No. A lot of stereotypes. Right? Actually, maybe people out there, they're non-believers. They look at us this way. We are not well accepted. We are being seen as this. Well, straight-laced, fast-talking, narrow-minded, money-hustling TV preachers. We're talking about me, not you. Simplistic, postnatus, thin-lipped, killjoys, know-it-all, pushy, dramatic. It's all negatives. So if you want to bear witness for Christ in this society, people will say you are pushy. Right? You're dogmatic. You just want me to believe in Christ. That's it. After that, you won't care for me. This is the society we are living in. People are living. We will see us evangelicals this way. So it's very, very disappointing, but it reflects some of the realities. So as we live in this society and we want to bear witness for Christ, bring people to Christ, and even be a Christian openly, maybe we'll suffer in a certain way. But let's remember, as we suffer for Him, God will comfort us. God will comfort us. When we go to heaven and meet Him face to face, all the tears we wipe out, and God will comfort us. Okay, let's talk about heaven and kingdom then. Heaven and kingdom. Okay, what's the kingdom? Actually, when you see the heaven, the new heaven and new earth is the background, and then a holy city, a new Jerusalem, comes down from heaven. Okay, it's called Jerusalem. It's a city. It's a capital of Israel, right? It actually symbolizes a kingdom. But it's not Israel's kingdom. It's a new kingdom. It's a new kingdom coming down. If we talk about him, at least three things it can be included. There should be a king. And then there will be territory. And then there will be people living in it and under the governance of this king. Right? This is a kingdom. So the kingdom is here on earth, New Jerusalem, the holy city. Okay, who is the king? It's maybe too simple for you to answer, right? Look at verse 5. There's someone sitting on the throne. Who's that? God. It's the king sitting on the throne. It's very obvious, right? Actually, if you turn to chapter 22, verse 1, and then you see the throne is not only God, it's also of the Lamb. Jesus Christ is also sitting on the throne. So the king is God and also Jesus Christ. And this king is very down to earth, I would say. Does it mention any palace here? No, right? You just live in the city with the people. No palace is mentioned in the new heaven and earth and also in the new Jerusalem. So, yes, our God is there and is dwelling, a tabernacle with his people. We live closely with the people, give them joy, comfort them. This is our king. Territory, obviously, is the new Jerusalem. That is the heaven. Okay, let's look at the subjects. We need to spend more time on the subjects. If you look at verse 3, let's listen to the verse 3. And I heard, a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people. So this people, actually, in original language, is in plural. So peoples, people groups. So actually, the subject actually is not only Israelites. If you look at this New Jerusalem, where it's all loaded with the Old Testament history and all that. But actually, it's for all peoples, all people groups. Everyone, every tribe, every nation, if you believe in Christ, it's welcomed in this group, in this heaven. Okay? Okay, and the second, when you look at those who are welcomed to heaven, when you look at verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. He who overcomes. It means that those during Apostle John's time, who overcomes all the trials and sufferings, temptations, and to overcome it, they will inherit the kingdom. And it's not only they will be people of God, they will be sons and daughters of God. Not only just like people or ordinary citizens, they will be like heirs of God, and so they can rule just like God and Jesus Christ did. Let's look at chapter 22, verse 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the night of the lamb or the night of the sun, for the Lord God will give them night. The last sentence. And they will reign. They means all the people in New Jerusalem in heaven will reign forever and ever. So, people of God in heaven, not only we are worshiping, we are actually reigning. So we are the subjects. Those who overcomes all difficulties and sufferings and trials will inherit this heaven. And who will not enter it? Go back to chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the living, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers, and all liars, the place will be in the fierce lake of burning sulfur. There's the second death. Those who do evil cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Some commentators would say this kind of people actually, those who read the Christians out, the genuine Christians out, they actually betray them, so they become murderers. When they betray the Christians, they will be killed by the authority. They tell lies because they deny the faith. So this group of people actually, they are apostates. When suffering comes, when trial comes, they just give up. They just turn away. And this kind of people, and this kind of false believers, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, heaven. And this is more comforting. If you are those Christians who are being read out, you will be vindicated. Justice will be served. Today we are living in a very unjust society. You can see a lot of unjust injustice all around us. And one day, it will stop. It will stop. And those who are suffering from injustice, God will vindicate us. This is another promise that God has for us. So, don't think this world can give us everything. No. Most of the time, this world pulled us apart from God. Many of us want to build our kingdoms on earth, right? May it be your career, may it be your family, may it be the ministry you are doing. People want to build our kingdoms on earth. And after all, this kingdom is corrupt. Not a kingdom is perfect until one day we go to heaven, the perfect kingdom. With a perfect king, with a new territory, with faithful Christians as heirs of God, reigning the heaven, new heaven and earth. Okay, let's talk about heaven and patience, endurance. It's interesting. When the first century Christians were going through sufferings, God did not tell them, okay, commit suicide, or I will just bring you up, suffering ends. No. By revealing the heaven, God tells them, patiently endure. Yes, there's suffering on earth. But keep on. You still have something to do. Don't give up yet. By suffering, you are giving testimony to others that this belief, this faith, is worth to die for. You are giving a strong testimony for those who are turning away from God. Was seeking for faith that is real. Keep on. Go through the suffering. It's okay. There will be comfort in heaven. There will be reward in heaven. There is a king waiting for you to wipe your tears away, give you comfort. And you will be heirs of God. And you will reign with the king, with God, with Jesus Christ. All the promise is so comforting. So, patiently endure all the suffering you are facing now. By talking about patience, endurance, we look at the promises and also the self-declaration of God. It's very important. The verses 5 and 6. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God's words are trustworthy and true. He's not telling any lies. What I have promised, I will fulfill it. Then verse 6, he said to me, it is done, it is done. The salvation plan is done. God will finish the work for certain. So hang on, hang on. Endure, patiently endure all sufferings. And then, the proclamation, I am the author, Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What is this talking about? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega is the last one. So it means beginning and the end. So he's the sovereign God. He's the sovereign God. History is in his hand. He's in control. We suffer not by mistake. Christian suffers not by mistake. The heavens full of sin, full of injustice. I'm sorry, the earth is full of injustice. It's not by mistakes. It's not coincidence. God who started the salvation plan, will finish it perfectly. He is the sovereign God. His history is in his hand. Nothing happened to us. It's by mistakes. No. God is in control. This is the reason that we can hang on, that we can patience endure. This is what heaven's like, and then we are encouraged to do that. This patience endurance is not passive in any way. Like I said, those Christians in the first century, as they suffered, as they were persecuted, they are bearing witness for God. So, as we walk this heavenward journey to heaven, as heavenward Christians, we continue to do what we ought to do on earth. Bear witness for Him. Do good to the society. Maybe sometime you come forward to protest, to fight against injustice, to bring heaven on earth. Not perfectly fulfilled, but we still work very hard on it. If you do that with wholeheartedly and really endure, you will suffer. Yes. You will face a lot of difficulties. People will reject you. You will be misunderstood. You will be criticized. But if you know that you are doing the right thing, keep on doing that. God knows. And one day, you'll be rewarded because of doing this. So I end a sermon by this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen? Let's continue on. Do what is best for the Lord. He deserves it. And one day, we will be rewarded. Let's pray together. I'll give you some time to reflect. Maybe you can think about the ministry that you are doing. Maybe you can think about what you are doing at your workplace or in your family, in your household. What can you do for God? Or even giving up some privileges in order to serve Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be heavenward Christians who live this lives on earth just as pilgrimages. Help us to love you more and love the world less. Help us to be in the world, but not of the world. Help us to fix our eyes in eternity rather than temporal things. Above all, with your mercy, help us to get out of our complacency and prepare to suffer for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
please rise as we sing doxology?
Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. He has washed and made me white as snow. I'm redeemed.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion and empowerment of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I hope everyone enjoyed your long weekend so far. Seems like we do have a lot of our members away, out of town for the long weekend, but I'm happy that you are here with us and worship with us this morning. And I'd like to thank the worship team for leading us to worship, and also thank Pastor Jonathan for sharing God's word with us. And okay, let's take a look at a few announcements before we end. Okay, next week will be a joint service for Children's Sunday, and we will